We believe that being a defender requires more than building shooting skills on a range. It's also a development of the heart, mind, body, and spirit. Join us as we explore what it truly means to be a defender in your training and in your everyday life. Welcome to Defenders Live. Hello, beautiful people. It is Laura Thorson again. Wednesday night, I'm here with you on Defenders Live. It has been a whirlwind week of training with Adam Winch. He's in the great state of Montana this week, and I can't even believe I showed up in time to even make this live happen. If you had any idea what's been going on, even in just the last few hours, it's amazing that I'm here with you tonight, but I'm so glad that I am. We have a really special guest on that I'm going to introduce you to here in a minute. So, as always, we will have Adam Winch in the green room tonight. He's been having audio issues, so I doubt he'll be chiming in tonight, but we hope that he'll be in the green room to help me out behind the scenes. So, we're working on that. If you guys don't know who Adam is, he's the owner and lead instructor of Defenders USA. And if you'd like to learn more about me or Adam, you can go to defenders-usa.com and click the About page, and you can learn more about us, our team, and our mission at Defenders. So thanks again for joining us. If you're on the replay too, welcome. If you're new, I'm so glad that you're here. And this week, I wasn't going to do a tidbit of the week, but you know, I kind of came up with one here in the last hour based on what has been happening today. And here's what I'll say. I don't know if any of you guys follow me on Facebook, but this week I earned a 10-yard ace card in Adam Winch's class, which I'd never done in the past. And it wasn't like, you know, as fast maybe as I can go. If I keep working on it, I can go faster, right? But it was a win for me, and I celebrated it royally. Like, I was so excited, and everyone in the class heard it, and probably the people, you know, a mile away heard it too, because I was roaring. And it was a great, great feeling. There were lots of wins this week. And what I want to say about that, and one of the things that I want to share with you, is that one of the things I want to say first is Adam in the class, he kept saying, you got to have faith. You got to believe you can do it. You got to have faith. And for some reason, that really resonated with me. Whenever those nerves start to really, you know, get ramped up and you get on the line, everybody's watching and there's a timer and you can feel the pressure. That's where the rubber meets the road, guys. And if you don't have faith and you don't believe that you can actually do something, it's not going to happen. So sometimes even when you do believe you can do it, it still doesn't happen, but it has to be there, right? You have to have faith. So my point to you in the tidbit of the week is I want you to know that not only can you, but you will if you believe and you have faith. I saw something today just within the last couple of hours that was literally a work of God that this person was okay. Justin and I were first on the scene of an accident that could have been, it seemed like it would have been a horrific thing. And turned out, as far as I know, the person's okay. And thank God for that. But the first thing out of my mouth when I saw him walk out of the vehicle was, that was literally a miracle from God. There is no other way to describe it. And we're still like coming down off of that adrenaline dump. So I apologize if I'm speaking very quickly or if I seem like I'm a little off tonight, but that was quite an experience. So that again ties into having faith. Whenever you're on the line and whenever you're training, whenever you're shooting, and you do believe in yourself and you do have faith, you have to set yourself mentally just like you do physically. So when you're getting up there and you're thinking about, are my toes right, my knees right, my shoulders, everything right, and my grip and all of that, you have to also check yourself mentally, right? You have to think about, do I have everything right mentally? And do I feel prepared mentally to be able to do this? Because if you don't, it's not going to work. So you need to know that you can make the shot. You need to not just hope that you can make the shot. You need to do the work in order to make that happen, because that's really important. You can't just believe your way into doing something, but make your mind up and do it. So many times I see people come to the line and I've watched them through the course of the day do extremely well. And so I know that they are capable of doing whatever the task is, but I see in them sometimes when the pressure starts to come on, they start to fall apart a little bit mentally and they start questioning themselves and they haven't made their mind up that they can do it. So that's what I want to challenge you to really think about in your training, in your everyday life. Make your mind up and do it. You will shock yourself at what you're able to accomplish. And I want to talk specifically very quickly about a gal that we had in class this week. She was on our day one handgun fundamentals class. She had never handled a gun before. She was brand new. And she was an older gal, but she was very open-minded to what we said to her. And by the end of the day, it was amazing to watch her grow in so many ways, in skill, definitely, but absolutely in confidence. She was a totally different person by the end of the day than she was when we started. And the reason I bring her up is because she sent something to me tonight that absolutely blew my mind. And I want to share that with you because it really gets to the heart of what I'm trying to get at with you guys here tonight. She said, "I just want to say that the day was mind-blowing and your part in it for me was key. Thanks for having my physical and psychological back all day, for the amazing support, reminders about safety with triggers, the eye-to-eye connection, and encouragement and acknowledgement. It would have not been the same at all without you. For a one-day immersive workshop on a topic that one might describe as skills-based, which it was, of course, the experience has had an unexpected psychological and spiritual impact. My identity has expanded, and it took a few days for me to get used to that. And I'm not sure that the larger who I am has yet been fully integrated. So interesting, challenging in some ways, and also empowering." Now, when I hear that come from somebody that we've seen this week, I am absolutely blown away because that is what we strive at Defenders to do. Yes, we try to build you in skill, but when you can walk away and feel like you've grown as a person in more ways than one, you've won all the way around, right? And that's a win for us too. So I watched her grow in front of my eyes in skills and confidence. And my challenge to you is that if she can do that, so can you. So get out there, have faith, and believe that you can and that you will. All right, I'm off my soapbox now. Let's get to the real fun of the day, the interview. I have a really fun guest on. His name is JT Grover. He's from RevTac, and he has a unique and awesome training facility I've only been able to hear about in Jackson, Nebraska. He and Adam were, I don't know, pals of some kind at the ASS National Conference, and he did a pre-show with us last month. And him and Adam just like took it away. They were just, you had to go back and watch the pre-show with JT Grover and Adam. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Those two are like two peas in a pod. It's hilarious watching them. So anyway, JT, I'm going to bring you on now. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
I'll save this.
Yeah, so for those people that don't know you, could you give a little bit of background information on yourself and your facility?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, guys. And so my name is JT. I own RevTac Firearm Instruction. And my start to this was just trying to earn some bullet money, really, some ammo and gun money about 12 years ago. And so what I did is I took my expertise on the military side and started to kind of, I don't know if we can say whore myself out, but we're going to. I just started to just do it. And then as far as that went, I mean, I didn't care if I was teaching a tactical team of some sort or if I was teaching somebody's grandma, we would just go. And then from that, it just turned into this. Now we have 11 instructors that work for us, and just awesome, awesome facility. We're blessed better than we deserve. If you're ever in the Midwest, come out. You're welcome here. And we teach a ton of different classes from the most basic stuff to the most advanced stuff. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, JT and I, we talked last night. Was it last night or the night? I don't even, the days are blurring.
Yeah, it's been
I don't know what days.
Yeah.
We talked the other night, and JT had a few things on his mind that we wanted to go over. We thought would be interesting for the audience. So I think we should get right into it. First, we talked about training expectations and the fear of failure, and I kind of touched on that on my little tidbit. So what can you tell people about training expectations and how to manage those?
Well, we have trained a lot of people. But if you think about it in that sense, we've only trained maybe 1%, Laura, of the community. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so barely that, I bet. And so it's wild to think that people who may be caring or maybe believing that they're capable of personal defense are not actually seeking out that training. And so we kind of have over the years tried to figure out why that is. And one of the biggest things, just personally, even with me, and I mean, I still feel a lot of pressure when I go to a class. I'm on that plane or I'm driving and I said, man, I'm going to be the worst one there. You know, don't tell anyone what you do. Don't tell anyone your background, right? You're just a student. It's okay. You've never handled a gun before, right? This is your
right.
first time there. And then, you know, you go there and you have psyched yourself out to the point mm-hmm. where you're like, I'm not going inside, you know, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to sign up for that class or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the spectrums is the fear of failure. But then there's that other spectrum that we talked about too, which is the Dunning-Kruger effect, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, when we talk about fear of failure, you're going to just have to take that step. You're going to have to just be vulnerable. You're going to have to live in the moment, and you have to realize that you actually going to a class is more than, I don't know, 99% of the other people in the gun community. Mm-hmm. It's easy to spend your money on guns and bullets and optics and all of that stuff and then never know how to use those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked a lot there. I didn't even breathe that entire time. So I'm sorry. That was all in one breath. So
hey, you can have the floor, JT, as long as you want it.
Okay. Well, not too long. Yeah. So that's the fear of failure. I don't know if we want to talk any more in depth on that. Other than I think you said it great when you just said you got to go and you got to do it, you know, and have faith
yeah.
that you're going to, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people understand the importance of getting training. I really do. I think they make excuses as to why they're not showing up and doing it. I really do. I mean, if you want it bad enough, you will find a way to do it. I truly believe that. And, you know, I remember the first class I went to of Adam's, I told my husband, because Adam didn't know me at all. And I told my husband, I'm like, I am not going to tell him I'm an instructor or, you know, first of all, I don't want to act like I'm, you know, tactical and Miss Know-It-All and all that. But second of all, I'm like, no, I want to start on an equal playing field with everybody here. I don't want him to, you know, have these like super high expectations. What if I can't meet him, you know? But he called me out like within the first like 2 minutes. He totally like read it all over me for some reason. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the pants. I'm not sure. But anyway, but yeah, it's totally true. And I see people, you know, blowing off training all of the time. And it comes down to what's important to you. And we talked about that the other night too. It comes down to what is important to you and what are you willing to sacrifice financially, time-wise, whatever it is. If it's important to you enough, you will do it and you'll make time for it. So
yeah,
it's a personal
time
decision.
Time, we recognize that. Like here at our range, when people come and train with us, we thank them for their time, not so much their money, because money, man, we will spend money on pizza, you know, the same amount of money on pizza this Friday, you know, mm-hmm. That we would have spent on training. But time is such a commodity that people right. really cling to. And mm-hmm. it's wild because we get excited, you know, at the range. We say, oh man, hey, it's a gorgeous day. You know, you have no excuse to not be here, but man, it's a gorgeous day and it's just rained for 3 weeks. And now I've got to mow my lawn and I've got to, or, you know, I got to rake these leaves or I got to, you know, go for a bike ride or whatever, wash my hair, whatever it is. It's just mm-hmm. crazy, you know?
And it's,
you
know. It all boils down to priorities. It really does. All right. So then tell us then the other side of the spectrum, then the Dunning-Kruger effect. I can't believe this is somewhat new to me and I should know this, right?
Well, you will know this. By the end of this, you'll know it and you'll identify it. So the Dunning-Kruger effect or the Dunning-Kruger phenomena is simply a false sense of confidence when it's in something that you truly know nothing about, right? You believe that you have this above average ability to perform in something that you don't actually understand. And it's really a neat thing to study because as far as this, I can't remember what they call it, the cognitive whatever, but
dissonance.
But it's or bias. It cognitive bias. You're so smart. Bias. All right. Yeah.
No, and that's so Brian Hill. He says it all the time.
He does say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they call it a cognitive bias where people with low ability, expertise, or experience regarding a certain type of task or area of knowledge tend to overestimate their ability or knowledge, right? As I just read that, I didn't memorize that. But the crazy part about that is we see this all the time. And most of the time it's through like just kind of side conversations or somebody will call on the phone and they'll say, oh, hey, my wife needs a class, but I don't. I've been shooting for 30 years, you know? And that's one of the most, I know. It's just cringe, whatever the cool kids are saying now. It's just, whatever, right?
I don't but know. I'm just, not a cool kid.
You don't have kids that say cringe?
I have kids, but they're little.
Oh, okay. Well, you should teach them that because all kids say that. So cringe. But it is really rough to hear people's overconfidence. I don't even know how to describe. I mean, what would you equate that to? That would be.
That's ego. Know. That's ego. Yeah, it's not being humble and you're not being humble.
Wouldn't you say that the more you train, the more humility you have? Like the more.
Yes.
Yeah. It's wild,
well, the more you train, the more you train, the more you realize how little you actually know. Right.
Yeah. Right.
At least for me, that's where I'm at right now anyway.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, it's everything. It's everything from, in my other life on the military side, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. You train a bunch, but you realize also how easily you could be taken, you know, at any normal point when you're not preparing. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's kind of the same thing here is that, you know, how do we get the message across that if you actually think personal defense is important to you, if you say it is, then you have to do more than just say it is, right? You actually have to, you can own 20 guns and that is not as impressive as you owning one gun and being able to just operate that thing in your sleep, you know?
Yeah. And that's the question of the day for a lot of trainers that I run into is, you know, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of, oh, well, so-and-so says they're going to sign up for this class, you know, and no, so-and-so doesn't. Yeah. I mean, how, you know, we see a lot of trainers, I think probably what is the word I'm trying to say? The repeat customers, I guess you'd say, or what percentage of people that come into a basic class end up coming back, you know,
for
more training. They're all jazzed up when they leave, but a lot of times they don't end up coming back. So, right. And I don't think it's necessarily always the trainer's fault.
Yeah. Well, you carry some of that weight as the trainer though, because you say, man, did I not convey the magnitude of you doing this correctly, you know? And it's not even just concealed carry, because that's where most people start. You know, most people start their shooting career as far as defensive shooting goes. They start that by taking a concealed carry class because it's required, you know?
Right.
And
right.
The crazy part, and something that I think has really has muddied or tainted the waters of this, is online, where you can take this thing in your underwear, in the bathtub. I don't know where that came from, because you can't, nobody, but you know what I mean? Like, you could just take this anywhere. You could be watching a movie and be on your laptop, just clicking the enter or space bar or whatever to just blow through this. And then you're just as qualified as the guy who sat through a full day class and shot on the range and took a test and, you know, actually studied the things that matter. Right.
Right.
It's wild, but
skill.
Yeah.
Because they do it, they literally do it online, which is, I'm sorry, I don't think that that qualifies you.
Unfortunately, the law in a lot of states says that it does, you know, and it's disturbing because we see that a lot in the Midwest. But I mean, mm-hmm. we tell people, I mean, you can skimp on a ton of things, you know, anniversaries, Valentine's Day. I don't know, you know, stuff like that.
You shouldn't skimp on Valentine's Day. I wouldn't recommend that, but.
Oh, really?
Everything okay. else. No, I'm
starting
joking.
This year, babe. Starting this year, Con. I am going all out. But I mean, on the things that you're actually relying, you know, to defend your life or the people's lives that you love, that is wild to come in underwhelmingly underprepared. You know, or overwhelming, I don't know, speaking
overwhelmingly underprepared.
Yes.
Is that what you were trying to say?
Yeah, right. And so, man, I can't imagine on the worst day of your life figuring out that you're not ready. And that's kind of, we tell a story in a lot of our classes when you attend just a concealed carry class, we talk about the Dunning-Kruger phenomena. Because I mean, that's our subtle way of begging mm-hmm. you to go get more training, you know, and just, mm-hmm. And we talk about this local guy whose 8-year-old fell into the river here at the Missouri River he jumped over to save his life. And, you know, he jumped over thinking that he was going to save his son's life. And in fact, he drowned, right? And he drowned because he didn't understand what that was going to take from him, the physical toll of the current, you know.
That's so sad.
It's wild, you know.
You said, you know, the dad died, but the boy lived. Is that what you said?
Yep. It's just, I mean, all of the things that, and you know, we can say, man, that's not right for you to talk about that, but you know, you're armchair quarterbacking or whatever, but the reality is we should not ever let a death not teach us a lesson, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this man, this father, teach other dads something so that we don't do it. Even if it's just saying, hey, in that moment where you shove off from shore and you say, hey, I got this. If something happens to my son, I got this. Instead, you should say, you know what? I'm probably going to throw a life jacket on. You know,
right.
Nothing's probably going to happen, but I'm going to take these steps, you know?
Right. And how many times have we met that person that, you know, I know lots of people like this in my life where, you know, get on a, I don't know, empty situation, let's just say, maybe the road conditions or maybe whatever it is. And you're thinking to yourself, oh gosh, I don't know if we should keep going or whatever. And they're just like, yeah, it'll be okay. You know, and they're not prepared for whatever could happen from that. And they just don't think it through. And then that's how bad things happen, you know?
Right.
Sometimes tragic.
Yeah. A lot of it is not thinking it through. And if you don't know what to think about, then how are you going to do
it? If you've
never
thought about it before, you're not going to go there in the moment.
We have a saying here, and I don't know where I stole it from. I think Willie Loriano, but we say the body won't go where the mind hasn't. Maybe you've heard that before, so maybe it's not Willie's. But I mean, if you don't kind of go through these scenarios, you know, we post a lot of this stuff on our Facebook of personal defense things. And it's kind of important that we just review other people's good and their bad. And then we try to learn from it. And instead of just, I mean, it's something to at least look at that video and say, man, I wonder what I would do in that situation. That's great. Right. That's a start. But then actually go and apply those skills. You know, we have a home defense class where it's force on force. You go through a few hours of seminar and then we turn the building into a house. I mean, it's pretty well set up like that anyways, but we turn one of our buildings into a house and then we've got these match grade airsoft. And we say that pain is one of the most amazing teachers that you can have, right? I mean, you might as well learn what to do with an airsoft gun that's real accurate, you know. But so what we have is everybody in the class becomes the jury. And then our instructor, who is a retired federal prosecutor for 27 years, he becomes the judge. All right. So everybody's right in the scenario with you. They're wearing iPro tucked in a corner, you know.
Yeah.
And then the scenario kicks off and we've had people say, man, I don't know. I knew what I was going to do. I knew, you know, I'd watched other people. I knew I had to come down these stairs. I got to the top of the stairs and I blacked out, you know? And I was like, man, yeah, I get it. I mean, and not like physically blacked out, but blacked out to where
like they froze mentally.
Shooting. Yep. They were shooting. They were doing stuff that wasn't appropriate for, and I encourage them, hey, that is the time in training. This is an amazing time to do this because I promise you, you won't do it in the moment. You know, get in the habit of letting your brain feel all of those chemicals dump in there. Mm-hmm. And then at the point that you actually need it, you're going to say, your body's going to say, I've been here before, you know, like I'm familiar with this territory. So,
yeah. And could you expand a little bit more on your facility? Cause that is incredible training that you're offering there, you know, as close to real life scenarios as you can possibly get. What else is it? You've got like a whole, like, I hate to say compound, but kind of like you've got
Thing. Yeah. 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 You're going to want to come here if when the zombies come.
I know.
Well,
I
actually, you're.
Yeah, I have family in Nebraska, so it's definitely on my mind.
Where in Nebraska? Definitely on my mind.
Like central Nebraska.
Okay.
So it'd be a little bit of a drive, but still.
It's all right. Yeah, get them here. But so this facility, we try to explain this more as like an experience than just a gun range, you know. So you can be a member out here and you can shoot out. We've got ranges that go half a mile, and then we've got ranges that go much farther than that for our classes. And then we've got cool shotgun stuff and a bunch of pistol pits with a ton of different steel, from Polish plate racks to normal plate racks to Texas Stars to just silhouettes and all that jazz. And then we teach about 30 classes, between 24, 27 and 30 classes a month, right? And so maybe half of those or more are here at this location. And then we also have like a stocked pond. We have axe throwing. We've got a rock wall. We've got a rope swing into the pond for the summer. We've got a beautiful waterfall and cabins on the, or a cabin. I shouldn't say cabins. That's in the works. But, and then we have three RV hookups. So when people come in and train, they can stay there. Or they can stay in our bunkhouse. We've got a really nice bunkhouse that, I mean, it's pretty fantastic. We could probably Airbnb it, but it's pretty, pretty cool, right, to come in.
And so people come in. You said something about shoot houses too. Weren't you building shoot houses?
Yeah. So the last time was right before the Christy Horton. So we can turn one of our pistol pits into a shoot house. And so we put up all these walls and you can actually live fire into this thing. And so it's pretty neat. And then we've got a catwalk above. And so it's kind of, it's pretty cool. We're really limited only by our imagination. You know, this is one of the neat things out here is, we'll get a bunch of government agencies to come train out here because we don't have any of the bureaucratic red tape, you know, the BS. You know, if we want to drive down one of our ranges at 70 miles an hour from a Buick we got from a junkyard, we can do that shooting out of this thing, you know, like we don't have to sign any.
Adam's going to want to come play with you. I have a
So
that's awesome. Now don't you have a second range or a second facility or something? Okay, where's
we've
that?
We've got in Platte, South Dakota. So we've got
where
a
is that in South Dakota?
Let's see. It's about 40 minutes west of Mitchell. It's a couple hours from the Black Hills. So it's probably two and a half hours, maybe 3 hours from the hills, 40 minutes from Chamberlain. I don't know. I mean, I could keep going saying small towns that it's by. I don't really know. It's on the map.
The vicinity.
Yeah.
I know where Mitchell is.
It's about an hour and a half.
Isn't there some kind of corn thing there or something? There's a corn.
The Corn Palace. The Corn Palace. I've never been to that.
I haven't either, but I've seen the signs. Anyway. Okay, let's move on. We're getting off track.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Say something. You go first.
This is too much fun. Okay, moving on to another topic that we discussed earlier, standards of progression.
Okay.
Do you want to say about? One. Yeah.
Yeah, standards of progression. So I like to tell the story about when we brought this. So we've had Marshall Blade Concepts in here. I know you just talked to these guys. They're awesome, Adam. Mm-hmm. That whole program is really great, right? And we've had Marshall Blades come in multiple times, and then we've had Willie Loriano, who's a big Kali and knife fighting guy from California come in. He's the dude who teaches the SEAL teams. And so he comes in and he puts on a really elaborate class. All right. Awesome. A 1 day or 2 day class. And so we have a bunch, probably like 30 people come to this. And so then we schedule them the next year. And I get probably 5 phone calls from people saying like, hey, is he going to do the same class or are we going to, you know, do like a secondary, a follow-up, a more advanced class? I'm like, guys, have you been knife fighting for the last year somewhere? Like, have you been practicing what he told you? Oh, no, you haven't. You've gone about your lives. You probably could take the same information over again and learn a ton of crap, right? Mm-hmm. And I just, it kind of reminded me, you know, none of our instructors here are too good to take a fundamentals class. Like I would take a fundamentals class from you in a heartbeat because you probably know something that maybe I'm not conveying to my students. Maybe I haven't picked up personally, you know, all of that stuff. So it's, you should never be too good to just keep on retaking stuff until you think you've got a decent grasp on it. Right.
Oh yeah, I'm still taking fundamentals or basic classes from new trainers because not only can I learn as a student, but I can watch them as an instructor. Tons and tons of information you can gather from a basic class. I mean, mastering anything is just the fundamentals. The fundamentals are everything. So,
And I would say one of the safest standards for you is to, until you're either the top shot or you're the like in the top one or two, three people of that class, take it over again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Until you have risen above everybody else in that class, you're not too good to take that class. And even then you're not too good, but that's a good indicator. Hey, maybe you should move on. You know, it's time for you to start adding tools to your toolbox.
Right. You don't want to stay there forever.
No, you don't want to stay there forever, but it's so wild how many people want to add tools to their toolbox, but they don't even have a toolbox to put it in, right? They don't even have the foundation, the fundamentals of safety. You cannot possibly want to take one of our pistol tactics classes, but you can't keep your finger off the trigger and you can't stop pointing your gun at people, right? You know, and then your response back is, it's okay, it's unloaded. You don't belong in that class. You belong in a fundamentals class.
Yeah. All right. I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain. I really do. Yeah. And well, it's always fun to have those repeat students come back and take those same classes again, because those are the students that actually end up progressing and doing well. Those ones that aren't afraid to come back again.
And you kind of rely on them because you know that you know that they're not an issue. You know, they're there to gather knowledge, but you know, they're not a safety concern. You know that they're going to, like, a lot of times, if you've come back one or two times to the same class, I'll say, hey, listen, here's the standard for these guys. This is what I want you to do, Adam Lynch. I want you know, these guys are aiming at 2-inch circle. Listen, you're going to cut that thing in half. I want tightest groups I've ever seen out of you, you know? And then, so you're adding kind of that extra level. They've proven themselves to need more, you know? So
you have to know your students. That's part of it. You absolutely do.
So that's an important thing, is that we should always be the student, never the instructor. And I say that a lot when people are looking for instructors to train with. This is, I don't know what it's like out there, Laura, but you know,
it's beautiful. You should come here.
I would love to. No, maybe in the spring or this summer, you know.
Yeah, I think Adam's going to be back in the spring, and there's no more beautiful thing than springtime in Montana. So
good. Well, it sounds like today was terrible with the cold weather and then the nice weather and then the cold weather again. I just, let me know when it's consistently nice.
I don't know if that'll ever happen, but you know, we'll give it the best shot.
What I was meaning by that is, I don't know what it's like out there, but here we have, the instructor market is saturated. All right. And it's saturated with people who, I'll give you a good story. When I had to go get recertified for, a 3-letter instructor certification, that means nothing in my credentials, but unfortunately, in order to teach a bunch of stuff, you have to be certified through these guys, right? So I go to get this certification, And I'm literally in an instructor class with people. This person had never shot a firearm before, but they wanted to be an instructor. They passed. Not they should not have passed, right? But they left there being certified as an instructor. They did not have their own gun. They didn't have any of the things that you would normally, right? That you would normally kind of.
Did you ask them why they wanted to be an instructor?
Nope. I was, so you know Adam. I know
Yes,
Adam,
I know Adam. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I could have handled that conversation cordially. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I would have said in a roundabout way, I probably would have said, hey, listen, you have no business being here, you know, but that's not my place. My place is to tell everybody on a podcast, you know, air out my dirty laundry, right, about this stuff. But what we see is we see this abundance of instructors that don't know anything about anything, right? Again, they almost fall into the Dunning-Kruger phenomena where they say, hey, man, I like guns, so I'm going to teach, you know, because there's money and then I can do the math. There's, you know, you teach five people this and you make $14. It's totally worth it, you know? So it's saturated. And so my problem is how do you weed through as a student, how do you weed through and find who's relevant, right?
Sure. Yeah. That's a question we get all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have a couple things. We always encourage you to ask us, anyone, when was the last time you took a class with somebody else and who was it, right? So mm-hmm. when was the last time you sought out training yourself, all right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they say, oh, it was the police academy in 1978, that's not good enough. Or, hey, I was a police officer for 20 years. Or, hey, I was in the army for 20 years. Or, oh, I did this for, you know, cool. At some point, your old credentials are not relevant anymore, right? I mean, if you mm-hmm. think how often we get changes in the fundamentals of shooting, whether it's grip, yeah. stance, any of this stuff. So when somebody mm-hmm. is teaching this, and I just saw, I can't remember what her name is. She's teaching in, Lisa is teaching in New York, all right now. And she just posted mm-hmm. a picture of this instructor just with the worst stance and grip ever, but he was teaching at this gun range. And I think she just happened by and took a picture of this. But I mean, group, those people are there believing that this dude,
right.
I mean, they have put him on a pedestal, right?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, and they don't know any different.
No, they don't know any different. So standards, right. And standards should simply be this. Hey, ask them when the last time they took training with somebody else. All right. Also, if they're 1,000 years out from when they did their job, but they act like they were just doing it yesterday, that's, you know, that's, they're not relevant flag. Anymore. Right. Yeah. Red flag. Right. You know, if you're still wearing your black police boots from, you know, when you were copping, 20 years later to teach classes, you know, I look at this stuff and I'm like, man, okay. All right. We've got it. You're living in the past. And I can tell by, you know, your modified Weaver stance that we're still there. Right. And then the other thing is I would definitely, know the fundamentals of safety before you ever get there. Right. So this is something you can Google. All right. So what that looks like is when you see that instructor put his hand in front of the barrel, well, I mean, instantly discredited. You know what I mean? When he holsters mm-hmm. and he points that gun back at himself, or when he's hanging out with his finger on the trigger, you know, or when he points that gun at his students and says, it's okay, it's unloaded. I mean, you need to mm-hmm. understand, hey, I want my money back and I'm never coming to this class again. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this is huge. This is huge.
And yeah, then, that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Nope.
No, I'm just thinking about, you know, there are standards in every industry, and those that aren't in that core industry don't understand it because they don't know what they don't know. And I hate to bring it back to saddle making, but my husband's a saddle maker, and mm-hmm. his price tag on his saddles is a lot more than one that you'll just go buy off the shelf at a store or whatever. Mm-hmm. And those that don't know don't buy his saddles. They're just way too expensive for somebody like that doesn't know what they don't know. But for those that know, they're willing to pay that money for that saddle because they know that what they're getting is, you know, 10 times higher quality. It's made literally by hand and not, you know, from a foreign country out of a clicker machine and all this stuff. So, but again, it all is going to boil down to education, educating people and trying to get them the, you know, maybe what we're doing right now is helping somebody, JT, you know, so that they can see those red flags in advance and they can go, oh, I heard one time that maybe that's not a good thing, but it's hard. It's hard if you don't know. So, is there anything else that you can think of that are red flags or ways that people can, vet maybe their, I mean, they should go to their website. They should see what not only what credentials they have, because most people don't know all the acronyms of all the stuff they've done. And people oftentimes exaggerate or not make up, but exaggerate things and make themselves look better than they really are.
Yeah. Well, I think we all have to do that. You know, there's this thing, and Mike, one of our instructors, was talking about today. Mike's teaching a shotgun tactics class tonight, you know, and Mike's never breached. He's never killed anyone with a shotgun. He's never had to defend his home. And so he said, I just hate that I'm teaching this stuff. I said, Mike, you are an expert with this shotgun. All right. You've done enough training with this. You understand tactics in and out. Guys, I appreciate, I'm seeing all these comments come in. They're awesome. So I just noticed them. So anyway, but so Mike and I were talking about this, the imposter syndrome, right? And I think that that's important that you keep a healthy check on that. You know what I mean? There are times when that can get out of hand. And I always appreciate when like Mike is concerned. If he wasn't concerned, you know, and that's awesome. And I'm thankful for that. I don't want guys who are so confident and so cocky that they think they're qualified to teach everything, you know, that, and so that's important to me. I don't really remember where we were going. I forgot.
Well, we're almost wrapping up because we're actually way further into the hour than I realized.
Holy cow.
Yeah. One more thing I want to go over.
One
more thing I want to go over and then we'll go into a short Q&A. We do have a few questions. If you're good with that, JT, we'll go over. But you talked a little bit about student mindset. And I think we could kind of tie into that in this conversation on how important it is for the students as well to maybe check themselves and be humble, because it's not always the instructors. Yeah. Sometimes it's the students. So what can you tell students about coming into a class and their mindset?
Yeah. Well, I took a class under the instruction of Brian Hill. All right. And Brian Hill, anytime he corrects you, he wants you to just say, thank you. Right. And man, that's so important, because instead of just saying a bunch of excuses back, you know, well, I've always done it this way, or I'm used to hunching down like this, this is how I was taught, or whatever, you know, whatever the stuff is, instead of just, if you just start by saying thank you, it is a mental thing that you will be so stoked about later, because it makes a difference. First off, you're more willing to actually take in the information and say, I'll try this, you know, and guys, that's one thing. When you get to a certain point, once you get past the fundamentals, there's this thing called shooter's preference, right? And the way I hold the gun may not be the exact way that you need to hold the gun, right? Your hands are probably different. Your grip strength is probably different. You know, all of these things. And so at that point, you just take the information and you kind of tweak it to make it yours, all right? Now, you have to always be auditing your skills, because if you suck worse, or you continue to suck, then hey, maybe you should do exactly what that person said, right? You know, and at that point, I don't even remember what we're talking about. I feel very Joe Biden-y tonight. I don't know. Anyway, you know. So
It's okay. Comic relief. I love it. No, you were talking about when we were talking about it, you specifically were talking about women instructors and how they can be. Yeah. Now you remember, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So so my smoking hot fiance is an instructor out here. We didn't meet on the range. I wasn't her like boss and then, you know, did anything weird like that. So stop judging. But she is an instructor. Now, it's funny because we had a good reminder of this the other day when kind of an older man, an older gentleman was at the range, and we were just teaching a youth intro to firearms class. And I wasn't in the class. I was teaching a private long range deal to a bunch of guys. But Ton, after class, said, "Hey, you know, this guy came up, and for the life of him, he could not believe that I was out here. Like, he was trying to figure out why I would be out here." And he was asking a bunch of questions, and she was trying to answer them, but she understood what he was saying. He was essentially saying, like, "Hey, you're a girl. What are you doing teaching these kids anything, you know?" And this guy's mm-hmm. 1,000 years old or whatever, but and he brought in his great, great, great grandkids out to take this class. But I think he wanted Mike, who was the other instructor at the time, he wanted Mike to, you know, but he had no idea about Tanya. Tanya's a federal officer during the day. She will shoot the pants off of any of our students, easily any of our students, and maybe half of our instructors. All right. I mean, she can catch me on days where I'm not just right on the, you know, if mm-hmm. if I am not on my A game, she is handing me my butt. So, so she's amazing. So what does that, I mean, the idea that she's instantly discredited mm-hmm. sucks, right? And the mm-hmm. idea that she can only teach women sucks also. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's not the way that should be. Now, there are some things that, you know, again, when we kind of rein in the classes, Tan is very comfortable teaching women's basic classes. She loves teaching kids. You know, she's not out teaching tactics past like women's defensive tactics, you know, and so that's her realm. She's not asking these guys to, you know, she's not asking to teach low light, no light stuff or, you know, room clearing or anything like that. Even though she has those skills, she kind of draws more to enabling or empowering women, right? So that's mm-hmm. her deal. But she is by no means limited to that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So anyway, and I wanted to know if you felt that as a female instructor as well.
You know, I guess I've had a few people that I've gotten that sense from, but usually what happens is over the course of time that can be changed. That attitude or judgment can be changed. And not that I'm trying to prove anything, absolutely not, but just through the course of the class, they can see, oh, well, actually she does know what she's talking about. Oh, well, mm-hmm. she actually does know how to shoot. And, usually they don't come to me with that verbally and say anything, you know, of that nature, but I can usually tell who those people are, and that's okay. I would be skeptical too. And so what, but you have to be willing to change your mind. So you come into a class, try to keep an open mind, but if you can't, you know, be willing to change your mind. And I think that's the sign of a good student, and we all should strive to be good students, because that's the essence of learning and being a lifelong learner. If you're not, then you're going to be stagnant. So
yeah, absolutely.
My 2 cents anyway on that. So yeah. we've got 10 minutes left here. We might go into these questions here. We don't have a ton. So guys, if you have questions you want to ask JT or me on anything that we've discussed tonight, or even maybe if it's a little bit off topic, that's okay. Drop it in the comments now. We'll go through this quick Q&A here, and we'll be wrapping up quickly. Adam's mic is down. Yes, Adam can't talk tonight.
There's not a millennial that can just go in there and click the right button for him.
I don't know who that would be, but I can see him in the background. He's smiling and he can try to talk, but he has no audio. Yeah, I secretly think it's kind of fun, but
Google it, Adam. Jesus.
Google it, Adam. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so let's go in with the first question here. Thrifty in the Morning wants to know, do you have any low light training? You kind of touched on that, I think.
We do. Yeah, we do. Especially this time of the year. So we try to have almost every one of our classes during the winter months, the fall and winter months, have at least a little bit of it. We call it entertainment, all right? Because A, it's entertaining to see what it's like to shoot at night without much light. And then B, it kind of lets you know, like, ooh, hey, these are things I haven't thought of. I can't see my sights. Man, I don't carry a flashlight. You know, should I have this weapon mounted light on? You know, all of these things, right? And so we'll dabble in that a little bit. Tonight's low light class was tactical shotgun. And so they got to do a little bit of that. Now we do have low light, no light classes that are on the books. I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but yeah, it's on our website. Go to our website, revtech.com. And if you don't see a class on there, you'll look through and you'll be like, man, these guys teach 90 different classes. That's true. So if you don't see a class on the calendar, just let us know and we'll schedule that dang thing. Yeah. So thanks for the question, Thrifty.
Yeah, really quick on the low light thing. I think it's so important. I know lights are talked about all the time. And you need this many lumens and you need to blah, blah, blah. But how many of us actually, maybe a lot of us do, but some of us maybe don't. You need to train with your gear. You need to go shoot low light and actually make sure that light is actually going to do what you think it's going to do. Don't just go buy it because somebody said, well, this is the brand and these are the lumens. Okay, I'm good. You got to know what it's actually going to do in real life.
Yeah. And you're going to find out that it's probably not the only flashlight you're ever going to buy, you know, because holy cow, there's a lot to these things and you would not even know. And we try to keep every class here as simple as we can. We're not going to bore you with lumens and candelas and, you know, how you know, whatever. But the goal
you're not
gonna
geek out on flashlights.
I mean, we can go into the weeds on that stuff,
yeah.
But really, hey, bring what you have, see if it works. If it doesn't work, then you at least know, not on the worst day of your life, that you need something better. And when you leave that class, you'll know like, okay, now I have an idea of what I'm looking for. We don't care if you carry a Streamlight or a Surefire, as long as it ends up. Oh, thanks.
November 13th.
Yeah, she's the best. Oh, I love her. All right.
But, you got somebody in the background too.
Yeah, Ton is absolutely rocking it in the basement, I think, right now. So anyway,
November 13th.
So November 13th is our next low light, no light class. Yeah.
Great. Anything else you needed to add before I cut you off again, JT?
Nope, we're done. Let's go to the next question.
Okay. All right. Can a non-member still sign up for any of your classes?
Oh, that's an awesome question. Yes, absolutely. Hey, and help us change that perception. Because people are like, man, we got to join your militia to go out there and train. That's not the way it is out here at all. This is more of like a redneck resort than it is a militia, right? And so, any of our classes you're welcome at. And we can help kind of guide you. If you give us a call or a text, we'll say, hey, this is a great class for you. Or, start here, wherever you want to start, really, as long as it makes safety sense.
I think this comment has something to do with the Dunning-Kruger effect, unconscious incompetence. So we talk about unconscious competence all the time. Maybe not being aware that you're incompetent is the same thing.
Yeah. The ignorance is bliss, right? And I mean, it's so crazy. We see this all the time where guys, we have a shirt. I don't know if you've seen these shirts. We have lots of shirts, but we have one that says, run your gun, not your mouth, right? Because it's really easy to say what you can do, and you'll talk yourself into believing you can do that. You know, I can shoot a gnat's ass at 50 meters. And like, you just show me what 50 meters even looks like first. And then like, that's from me to that wall, you know? No, it's not. That's 10 feet, you know? So we got to just rein that stuff in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of that mindset and attitude. Okay. I don't know who this is, but they want to know how long each one of your classes is.
Yeah, so they vary. Intro stuff, we try to keep around 2 hours because, believe it or not, 2 hours is a lot of information, you know, drinking up, I don't know, information from a fire hydrant, essentially, you know. And so 2 hours, that's pretty good for an intro class. Generally, they're between 2 and 3 hours. Once we get into more advanced classes, they go in 4 hour blocks or 8 hour blocks, right? And then we have classes that go 2.5 days. We have a class that full days, you know, one day, then we can pretty much custom tailor anything to what you guys want, especially if you're coming in. I mean, we did 10 days with some guys from Switzerland, you know, that was long. We became best friends. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love the relationships that you create with your students through those classes. It's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not so big. Oh yeah. Hey, Chris Brady, come on, let's do it.
When is JT and Tanya getting married?
Oh, I wish she was up here. You know, listen, I don't want to give you the most romantic answer ever, but our tax guy said next year. He said, don't do it this year. Wait till next year. All right. And it's funny because he was sitting there telling us, and Tawn is the most amazing lady ever. Like, how normal women would be like, are you going to listen to that guy? Like, no, we're getting married, you know, fly me to Vegas or wherever else. And Tawn's like, yeah, cool. Did you know Tawn wants to actually volunteer for our honeymoon at the Living Water Ranch, the Teen Foster Camp? That's her idea
really?
Of a honeymoon. Yeah, so she's not pressuring me to marry her.
You do
her.
Need to
she's,
keep that girl.
Oh, she's amazing. She's amazing. So
she needs to be on the show sometime. I think next time you're on, we want to bring her on too.
You should talk to her because, you know, she deals with crappy people every day. And so she is an amazing, you know, as far as situational awareness goes, as a female dealing with felons every day, you have to have your situational awareness game on point. And her escalation of force is
I bet she could teach us a lot.
Yeah, she's really amazing. It would be cool to get her on here, as long as we can all agree that she's just like, I'm here and Tawn is right.
Good luck with that. Good
yeah,
luck.
Less viewers, please. No, I'm so.
All right, two more questions here. Oh, Chris Brady likes your answer. Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Next question. Do you offer any non-gun classes?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, we have empty-handed stuff. We have a great combatives instructor. He's a ninja for 27 years. He can just judy chop you, sneak up and judy chop you anywhere. But we do a lot of empty-handed stuff. We teach a lot of workplace violence stuff and seminars like that as well. And then I'm trying to think what else. We've got striking classes. We've got all sorts of stuff. Now, and tactical medicine, which is huge. We teach a lot of TAC med stuff, trauma management. We've got guys, you know, special operation medics to guys who have a ton of experience on the trauma side of things. And so it's great to get those guys in here and just keep it simple. Again, that's one thing that we really expect to do here is just keep the train. There's no reason to try to confuse you with knowledge. If there's a simple way to do something, we want to teach you how to do it easily.
Absolutely. Yeah. The KISS method is always a good idea.
KISS. Yeah.
And one last comment before we leave, you should start collecting stories and develop a sitcom from it. I think you and Adam Winch could have your own show.
Oh yeah.
I really
a bromance.
Do. A bromance show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adam, two gun guys. We're dating. We live in the same house. We have to pretend like Chuck and Larry. The government wants to charge us insurance for something, so we get married, you know. Yeah.
Whatever works for you. Whatever works for you. All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour. JT, you've been a pleasure to have on, and you are always, always good comic relief as well. But obviously, a ninja in your own right and very competent and caring person to come on to Defenders Live tonight. We appreciate it so much. I hope that you'll, Adam and JT were doing the heart symbol earlier because Adam didn't have his audio on and he couldn't, he had to do sign language. So we did a heart. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I wish you guys could have seen it.
I'll get it. Yeah.
All right. So I appreciate it, JT. I will be in touch. Maybe we can have you on again and maybe Tanya can come on.
Let's get Tawn on next. She's amazing.
Yeah, I think so. So
thank you so much for having us.